Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this brand new episode and a rundown of the Froballers podcast live at the Enish Media Studios in Covent Garden. Of course, in partnership with Enish Restaurants and Energy God. This is where we break down of the headlines within the sporting industry, but looking through the lens of an African, Afro-Caribbean, and African-American athletes. Because we believe that there are no podcasts out there, not enough anyway, that's breaking it down and talking about our people and analyzing their exploits in the world. Once again, my name is Adeshope Olajide, and I'm joined this week, as always, by my brother, DJ Walls. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, thank you, boss.
Listen, we're quickly going to run through this one. This is more or less like a highlight of what's happened in the AFCON. This last couple of days, the AFCON Championships, if you've not been following, is the African Football Championships that's seen some of the biggest footballing countries in Africa go head-to-head. 24 teams, a couple of groups, and we're looking at the, you know, some of the best players in the world. The number one player in Africa at the moment, Victor Osimhen, is representing Nigeria, arguably one of the hottest football players in the Premier League in the last 6 years. And Mohamed Salah is leading Egypt, and the list goes on. Well, the matches have started, and now it's getting to the crunch time where people, where countries are trying to get out of the groups. The teams that we're going to analyze today, my brother, of course, without further ado, Nigeria took on the host nation, Ivory Coast, in the second match of their group.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we'll be looking at Ghana taking on Egypt. That was a tough one. But let's start with Nigeria. We've had so much to say about Nigeria.
Yes.
You know, the team, the players, the formation, the selection, the performance of the striker, the defenders. Nigeria won this match 1-0, a hard-fought match. First of all, what are your thoughts and your analysis getting off that match straight away?
I think it's a very interesting game. And I think we were so lucky to beat the host nation.
Yeah.
I thought, to be honest, I thought it was going to be a draw because obviously they are the host nation and they have all the support in the stadium. But we were able to pull through and we lost a lot of chances. I keep saying it, we cannot afford to lose these chances. Osimhen needs to be on form. We know him to be a great finisher. But he's made some silly mistakes recently in like the two games that we've seen him miss one-on-ones.
Is it the pressure to deliver? Is it the expectations on his shoulder? A lot of times strikers complain about not being given the ball, not having the opportunities to score. But during these championships, in the two matches that Nigeria has played so far, Victor Osimhen has been in position to really have probably scored about 4 goals.
Yeah, but he's each game is losing at least 2 one-on-ones.
Minimum.
And that's not good for a top striker. I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself.
Mm.
He wants to deliver.
Yes.
Probably he's using that energy, that force to, kick the ball. He wants to score. But he needs to take it easy on himself. And I think Probably, I would like to see Kelechi Iheanacho play behind him.
Absolutely. I'm surprised
he's not playing.
I saw a video where Kelechi Iheanacho said he was fit, ready to play, and ready for selection. Again, selection has always been the question.
Yes.
When it comes to championships, and especially when it comes to Nigeria in recent years. And now the AFCON Championships, the scrutiny on the selection has now even been bigger.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about this lone striker situation that Nigerian team is playing?
Because we know the Super Eagles to play with the playmaker,
wings,
you know, pass, tap,
midfielder.
But now we're putting more pressure on Osimhen up front. We just want him to, you know, save us, and that's not helping. So the coach needs to literally change the tactics like ASAP. We have the players. And we could see today, after the goal, he made some good changes. I was glad to see Kenneth Omeru come in.
I wanted also to talk about the defensive prowess that the Nigerian team showed, especially when they were 1-0 up and had something to protect.
Like,
it can be a very dangerous place to be in for a team when you're when you're sitting back and trying to hold on to one nil lead, but it looked like Nigeria managed this lead very well.
I think
well.
It was a good tactic because against the host nation, you don't want to come out. And we know the Ivorians to be deadly with their finishing and all that. Mm. So I think it was a good tactic and it worked. And this guy, Ekong Basi Ajayi, they held it down.
Even like, Simon.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Simon was good. Basi, like you said, yeah. Ajayi was fantastic. Yeah. Aino was brilliant.
Yes, he was.
Even though the strikers haven't really
delivered yet.
I think the defenders can hold their head up high. Mm-hmm. They've represented themselves well so far.
It gives some great passes. Mm. It's still not there yet, but I think he's holding it down well for us.
Now, in the group that Nigeria's in, Equatorial Guinea that drew with Nigeria defeated Guinea-Bissau 4-2, which means Equatorial Guinea is on 4 points, Nigeria
4 points,
Ivory Coast is on 3 points. Yes. So everything is all to play for in the final match. Nigeria is going to be playing Guinea-Bissau.
Yeah.
Equatorial Guinea are unfortunately going to be playing the host nation, the Ivory Coast. What are your thoughts about that game? What do you think is going to happen in that whole scenario?
I think we should just go in there with all our hearts, because that guy, I saw the game, and the guy that that scored the hat trick.
Yep.
We need to be careful. We cannot make mistakes, because the way he comes from behind to just do some tappings, the defenders need to be on point.
He's looking like he might be the one to that the Ivory Coast need to be looking at, because we're playing Guinea-Bissau.
Yeah, we're playing Guinea-Bissau. Yeah.
That looks like a very interesting proposition. But to be honest with you, the names that are in this group, apart from the Ivory Coast, Nigeria should be qualifying from such a group
But that's the good thing about
paper.
On paper doesn't work for football. I keep saying this thing on this podcast. The Nations Cup is just like the FA Cup. Anything can happen. Mm. Anything. So players need to be under. I think a lot of people will think it's going to be a walkthrough for Nigeria, but it's going to be tough because it's the last game. Mm. They would want to be the spoiler.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we need to be really careful. I think we'll win them, but we need to be careful.
Let's talk about the other match that took place today.
Yeah.
Ghana versus Egypt. Egypt, they've got high expectations. They lost in the finals in the last time in the AFCON Championships to a fantastic Senegal. Mm. They're being led by arguably one of the top players of the last 6 years in world football, in Mohamed Salah. They narrowly escaped a loss by drawing against Mozambique a couple of days ago, which meant the match against Ghana had even more high stakes attached to it. You know, that match almost became, it was a mixture of interesting and also filled with a catalog of errors.
Yeah.
Egypt had the chances. Ghana led. Egypt scored through a terrible defensive error by one of the Ghanaian defenders. And then Mohamed Kudus took it upon himself again to score a second goal. And a couple of minutes after that, Egypt equalized.
Mm.
2-2, honors even, points shared. What are your thoughts about that match?
I think Ghana made a very big mistake. And their coach, who I really love, when he was in the Premier
former
League.
Former Newcastle coach, yes. And former Tottenham assistant coach. And Tottenham. Yep.
Yeah, I love him so much. And I think when they were leading, he needed to change the tactics.
A little bit more defensive and calm.
Yes, because Egypt was smart enough to bring in Trezeguet.
Yes.
Who literally changed the game for them.
And if you're watching right now, if you're watching the podcast right now, we have just been served our weekly delicacy on the Froballers podcast.
Yes.
This time, thank you very much, miss. Walls,
yeah.
Ennis Restaurant Delight, looking amazing. What exactly are we looking at here?
This is our in-house favorite pop-off.
Yep.
And our special fried yam.
Yes.
And pepper. And the sauce.
Yeah.
Very delicious.
God
you
damn.
All need to come to Ennis and taste it.
Oh my God. I can't wait to dig it.
And I can see dodo.
Yeah. Fried plantain.
Some polished and, you know, luxury.
Listen, let me take this bowl. I need to look at the food well so that I can understand and I can talk
which
about
you
the
can
football.
Only get here.
At Ennis Restaurant.
Any of our branches.
11 branches in London.
Three branches
in Dubai.
Yes.
As you heard earlier on, we are live at Ennis Media Studios in Covent Garden. Here at the Ennis Restaurants. You can also make sure you listen to Ennis Radio online 24/7. You can listen to all Afrobeats selected playlists by some of your superstars and just come vibe with us. Back to Egypt. Trezeguet came in. He changed the game. Salah walked off injured in tears.
Yeah.
It's been rumored that he walked off with a hamstring injury, where if it was a minor hamstring injury, that means he'll be out of play for 2 weeks. If it's a regular major hamstring injury, that could take him out for 6 weeks.
And that's going to affect Liverpool.
But absolutely.
That's another case for another day. it's the AFCONs. And
yes.
The coach did another good thing by taking off because Elneny was having weak legs.
And he was just committing fouls left,
right. So he had to take him off. That's a good one. So, and the pressure was too much that he made Ghana made so many errors.
Absolutely.
And they made Kudus's efforts look...
We have to talk about Kudus. Mohamed Kudus, after having such a fantastic time in Ajax, he switched to the Premier League with West Ham being the team that signed him, which was a surprise to me.
Yeah.
Because coming from Ajax, I would have expected any one of the top four or five teams to have...
I was thinking Arsenal, to be honest. So.
But West Ham placed the bid. They won the player. He's come straight into the team.
And he has helped them.
He has delivered immensely, scoring goals, has a unique celebration style that he's also taking back to the AFCON Championships, leading Ghana into being one of the main players for Ghana going into the AFCON Championships. There's a lot of pressure on his shoulders as well.
Yeah.
Because people have seen him deliver for Ajax, they've seen him deliver for West Ham, and they're expecting him to deliver high quality for Ghana. And he did.
Yes, he did. And watching him play is just, it's so good because you can see the quality in how he moves.
The confidence,
how he shoots. And that's one thing about when one of your top players delivers, which is what Salah couldn't do for Egypt.
Yeah.
So Kudus came in and did the same thing. The only person I'm feeling for now is the guy who made the mistake, who's William. Also, I know we Africans, Ghanaians are going to come for
what? Him. And then he was substituted during the game as well. So
Twitter right now.
That doesn't help his confidence at all.
It doesn't help it because they will come for him.
Absolutely.
Football fans from Ghana will come for him. So I feel for him.
That group now, the final match in the group will have Egypt, I believe Ghana and Mozambique. And then Egypt will be playing the other team that Ghana drew with a couple of days ago. Now, wrapping up, Senegal has been fantastic. Cameroon had no problems.
Yeah, Morocco.
Morocco was dispatched in style.
Yeah.
Nigeria seems to be hobbling along as always, as they do. Ghana has high, heels to climb. It's starting to look more like a very interesting competition. And once they step into the knockout stages, where everything is on
football.
The line, then that's where football is going to start coming in.
And that's the beauty of AFCON.
Quickly, before we wrap up, how devastating would the Mohamed Salah injury be to Liverpool's title hopes in the Premier League?
I think if it's not a short hamstring injury, then I'll say that's the end of the title race for them. Yes. And that's good for Arsenal.
Yeah. And finally, speaking about Liverpool, former Liverpool captain and England captain, Henderson, who took the multi-million pound route to Saudi Arabia just about 4 or 5 months ago, has surprisingly terminated his contract in Saudi Arabia and decided to sign a 2.5-year deal with European former champions and exclusive football club, Ajax of Amsterdam.
Yes.
Good move. What does that mean?
Good move for him. And I know, I think the Euros is coming soon.
Yes.
And I'm sure that was why he made the move. Because if he's playing in the UAE, I don't think he will make the team.
Absolutely.
He's still a good player.
Yeah.
I think he's still the assistant
coach.
Assistant captain.
For England. So
England needs him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure for him to get into the team, he needs to come back to Europe. Which was why he's not playing for the money.
Yeah. So now he's just playing for pride.
For pride. And that's good for the Three Lions. So it's a good move for him. I'm happy for him.
Absolutely. Well, once again, shout outs to the Ennis restaurant team. We've just been delivered amazing drinks to wash down our fried yam and pepper, plantain, aka dodo, and puff puff, and vanilla syrup.
And the Nigerian Fanta.
And the Nigerian Fanta, which you can get at all Ennis restaurants.
Yes.
Well, this wraps up our roundup this week on the Fro Bowlers podcast, live at the Ennis Media Studios in Covent Garden, London. I go by the name Adeshope Olajide with my brother DJ Walls. Until next time, let's dig in, bro.
Yes.
No time.
Thank you.
No time. No time. Oh, my God. Thank you. What? Yo, this is dope, man.